Robert Langdon was reviewing his note cards when the hum of the town car's tires changed pitch. He glanced up. Memorial Bridge already? He gazed left toward the rounded silhouette of the Jefferson Memorial, America's Pantheon. Directly in front of the car, the Lincoln Memorial rose with rigid austerity, its orthogonal lines reminiscent of Athens' ancient Parthenon. But it was farther away that Langdon saw the city's centerpiece, the spire he had seen from the air. Its architectural inspiration was far, far older than the Romans or the Greeks. America's Egyptian obelisk. The monolithic spire of the Washington Monument loomed ahead, illuminated against the sky like the majestic mast of a ship. From Langdon's oblique angle, the obelisk appeared ungrounded, swaying against the dreary sky as if on an unsteady sea. Langdon felt similarly ungrounded. His visit to Washington had been utterly unexpected. This morning at 4:45, Langdon began his day as he always did, swimming 50 laps in the deserted Harvard pool. His physique was not quite what it had been in his college days as a water polo All-American, but it was still respectable for a man in his 40s. When Langdon arrived home around 6, he began his morning ritual of hand-grinding Sumatra coffee beans. This morning, however, he was surprised to see the blinking red light on his voicemail display. He pressed the button and listened to the message.
"Good morning, Professor Langdon. I'm terribly sorry for this early call. My name is Anthony Gelbart, and I'm Peter Solomon's executive assistant. As soon as you receive this message, would you be so kind to call Peter? You probably have his new private line, but if not, it's 202-329-5746.
Peter Solomon was not the kind of man to call at daybreak on a Sunday, unless something was very, very wrong. Langdon hurried toward his study to return the call. Peter Solomon had been a friend, mentor, and, although only 12 years Langdon's senior, a father figure to him ever since their first meeting at Princeton University. As a sophomore, Langdon had attended a guest lecture by the well-known young historian and philanthropist. Solomon had presented a dazzling vision of semiotics and archetypal history that sparked in Langdon what would become his lifelong passion for symbols. It was the humility in Peter Solomon's gentle gray eyes that had given Langdon the courage to write him a thank you letter. He had never dreamed that Peter Solomon, one of America's wealthiest and most intriguing intellectuals, would ever write back. But Solomon did. It had been the beginning of a truly gratifying friendship. Peter Solomon came from the ultra-wealthy Solomon family, whose names appeared on buildings and universities all over the nation. Like the Rothschilds in Europe, the surname Solomon had always carried the mystique of American royalty and success. Peter had inherited the mantle at a young age after the death of his father, and had held numerous positions of power. Now, at 58, he served as the head of the Smithsonian Institution. Langdon entered his study and was surprised to see that he had received a fax from Peter as well, asking him to call at once. It listed the same number the assistant had left on his answering machine. Langdon dialed the number.
"Office of Peter Solomon," the familiar voice answered. "This is Anthony. May I help you?"
"Hello, this is Robert Langdon. You left me a message earlier."
"Yes, Professor Langdon. Thank you for calling back. Mr. Solomon is eager to speak to you. May I put you on hold?"
"Of course." As Langdon waited, he gazed down at Peter's name atop the Smithsonian letterhead. Not many slackers in the Solomon clan. Peter's ancestral tree burgeoned with the names of wealthy business magnates, influential politicians, and a number of distinguished scientists, some even fellows of London's Royal Society. Solomon's only living family member, his younger sister, Catherine, was a leading figure in a new, cutting-edge discipline called noetic science. Solomon's assistant returned to the phone.
"I'm sorry, Mr. Solomon is trying to get off a conference call. Things are a little chaotic here this morning."
"That's not a problem. I can easily call back."
"Actually, he asked me to fill you in on his reason for contacting you, if you don't mind."
"Of course not."
"As you probably know, Professor, every year here in Washington, the board of the Smithsonian hosts a private gala to thank our most generous supporters. This year, as is customary," the assistant continued, "the dinner will be preceded by a keynote address. We've been lucky enough to secure the National Statuary Hall for that speech."
"The best room in all of D.C., Langdon thought, recalling a lecture he had attended in the dramatic semicircular hall.
"The problem is this," the assistant said. "Our speaker has fallen ill and will be unable to give the address." He paused. Mr. Solomon is hoping you would consider filling in.
This was not at all what Langdon had expected. I'm sure Peter could find a far better substitute.
You're Mr. Solomon's first choice, Professor, and you're being much too modest. Mr. Solomon thought you could give the same lecture you gave on Bookspan TV a few years back. He said your talk involved symbolism in the architecture of our nation's capital. It sounds absolutely perfect for the venue.
Langdon was not so sure. That lecture had more to do with the Masonic history of the building than...
Exactly. As you know, Mr. Solomon is a Mason, as are many of his professional friends who will be in attendance. I'm sure they would love to hear you speak on the topic.
Langdon had kept the lecture notes from every talk he'd ever given. I suppose I could consider it. When is the event?
Well, actually, sir, it's tonight.
Langdon laughed. Tonight?
The Smithsonian is in a deeply embarrassing predicament. Mr. Solomon is ready to send a private jet to Boston for you. You're familiar with the private air terminal at Boston's Logan Airport?
I am, Langdon admitted.
Would you be willing to meet the jet there at, say, 5 o'clock?
You haven't left me much choice, have you? Langdon chuckled.
I just want to make Mr. Solomon happy, sir.
Peter has that effect on people, Langdon thought. All right, tell him I can do it.
Outstanding,
the assistant exclaimed. He gave Langdon the jet's tail number and various other information. When Langdon hung up, he returned to his coffee preparation and scooped some additional beans into the grinder. It's going to be a long day.